in our world today, and you know, our world is, you know, it looks different, but issues are issues. I mean, you may not realize this, but there's always been celebrities. If you lived in ancient Egypt, do you know there was celebrities back then? There were. It looked different. Different things made people popular. If you lived in Rome in the year 300, there were celebrities back then. There was current styles, current trends. At every age, they always thought that they were the most developed. And I guess we're no different than things have ever been. And in the same way, there's always been things that have been conduits for good, and there are other things that were common conduits for bad. There are things that, if we make them a part of our lives, can bring good, and then there are other things that, if we allow them into our life, that don't bring good. And as I was praying for you this week and asking for the Lord's leadership, the Lord brought me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to look at the first part of that verse 3 there, that paragraph. Let me read it to you. But among you, there must not even be a hint. Now let's just stop it right there. And now he's going to go down through and tell a list of things that there shouldn't even be a hint of those things. And because those things are things that are not things that are in keeping with the life of somebody who wants to live a holy life that pleases God. And, you know, I was thinking today about, you know, what are the things? What are the things that seem to be the easy roads that get people off track, that easily get people heading away from God? And I was thinking about what I see as a pastor. Here's my list of the ones I see a lot now, that things that could be good, but can be bad. Hey, ready? Twitter. Now, I know some of you older folks don't even know what I'm talking about, but some of you younger ones know exactly what I'm talking about. If you want to keep up on the latest news, there's probably no better source than Twitter. Depending on who you're following, you can get on-the-spot news around the world through Twitter. But Twitter has all kinds of groups, and often you'll find people that have gotten way off track on these things, and their source of community often is Twitter. Could be good, can be bad. YouTube is a blessing and a curse. If you want to know how to fix your car and you don't have money to go to a mechanic, you can probably go on to YouTube and put down the make of your car and what's wrong, and you can watch a video. I have done some pretty complicated repairs, and some of them I've watched the YouTube video 3 times before I did it. And then I've had people tell me that they have physical problems and they have to go in for some surgery, and I smile like I know what's going on. I go home and I pull up a YouTube video and I get some explanation of what it is that's going on with them. I mean, YouTube can be great. You can hear sermons. But I want to tell you what. The kids in my school are totally into YouTube. I remember I was teaching a 6th grade Bible class 2 years ago. And I'm thinking, oh, they're 6th graders. They don't know anything. Oh, no, 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 no. Do you know that in that class, I think there were 10 kids in the class. And out of the 10 kids in the class, six of them had their own YouTube accounts, and they regularly posted videos, and their parents had no idea that they even had the account or that they were posting. So these are sixth graders going to a Christian school that are regularly posting videos. Now, it's stupid stuff. It's them putting the radio on, them all dancing to it. Or one of the kids made regular videos of him sitting. He videotaped himself sitting in his chair in front of the TV playing video games. I'm like, wow, that's a fun one to watch. But see, the parents have no idea that the kids, they're sixth graders. They don't know anything about this. Oh, really? They don't know anything about this. They know a whole lot more about it than you do. And if you talk to the kids, sometimes the kids tell you about the stuff they've seen. And one thing that broke my heart is the kids knew about things that they should not know about. Because if it wasn't for YouTube, I don't think they would have known about that stuff. But because they were on there, they got exposed to a lot of stuff that they shouldn't have been exposed to. As YouTube. Social media in general. You know what? You could go out and say that you're going to do the most outrageous thing in the world and post it on social media, and somebody will tell you that you're brave and you're a pioneer and you're so awesome. It is. I mean, you could do the stupidest things in the world. There'll be 20 people that tell you that you're a hero. I don't know why. But at the same time, there'll be another 20 people that tell you that you're the stupidest person and the ugliest person and the fattest person and the most awful person and the most fill in the blanks. Social media. It's good, but it's not always good. And some of our young people are coming up today. And I think it really affects Florida kids because it's hot and who wants to go outside? And mom's working and dad's working because that's the only way they can afford to live in the house they live in and drive the vehicles they drive. Let's just be honest. It costs a lot to live. And so it's hard to keep right on top of everything that the kids are doing. And often social media just has a bigger influence on people's lives than it ought to. And sometimes kids can come up with some pretty bizarre stuff. Not just kids, adults. Every now and then these stories will come out of somebody who's in a position of great respect in a community and come to find out that they're on social media and they've got some, what they think is an anonymous name, and all of a sudden it comes out that this anonymous person that's been saying all these ridiculous things is, you know, on the city council, or a teacher, or a coach, or a police officer. You're like, wow. I know when Christian was going through his training with the police department, they warned them. They said, you can't, if you're going to be doing this, you cannot freely just express whatever idea comes in your mind on social media. Can't do it. Last one. This one's a difficult one. And let me tell you why it's a difficult one. In our church, among you folks, I would be willing to say that at least half of our church drinks socially. To the best of our knowledge, that isn't really an issue for any of you guys. You know, if you're watching a baseball game and having a beer, it's not an issue. And I'm glad that's not an issue. But you know, we've had some folks that it has been an issue. In sometimes the little bit of lifting of the spirits that comes through the things we drink make people more open to do things that they wouldn't normally do. And it makes people more open to say things that they wouldn't normally say. And for a lot of people, their biggest mistake or the thing they wish that they could undo is something that they did do because the drink helped them. Paul Duran used to talk about beer muscles. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, some guys, all they need to do is get a few into them, and all of a sudden they think they're invincible and they want to beat everybody up. And I'm like, oh, no. We had another guy who went to a church, and he goes, I love it and I hate it. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, I love to drink. I love the way that makes me feel. But he goes, I can't drink one. I go, what do you mean? He goes, if I drink one, I drink 10. And he goes, in my afterwards, I hear from it from my wife. My wife hates being around me then. And she can drink one. I can't drink one. If I drink one, I drink 10. It's just like all the other things I listed. Twitter, YouTube, social media, drink. I mean, in and of themselves, they're not the issue. They can be a conduit for things that aren't good in our lives. And we need to watch ourselves. Going down to what the Apostle Paul says, in our lives, we shouldn't even allow a hint of certain things in our lives. He talks here about sexual immorality. Really, our sexuality is something that is supposed to be expressed in only one place, and that is within the bounds of a married heterosexual relationship. Anything else falls under the banner of sexual immorality. And I'll tell you, the sexual part of us is a part that is if you don't watch it, it's easy to become a part that gets out of control. He says, or any type of impurity. You know, in our heart of hearts, we know when we're involved in something that we should not be involved in. And sometimes that part of you where you kind of feel uncomfortable with that, whatever it is. Sometimes people, it's like they push it down because they want to keep doing it. And by pushing it down and ignoring your conscience, it's like you become less sensitive to your conscience and you get rather hardened. So after a while, you get so that you can do whatever it is. And after a while, you get so you don't really feel guilty about it anymore. That's not the way it should be. Impurity is something that part of us that, I'm kind of uncomfortable with this. We need to listen to that, and we need to thank God he's given us a sensitive spirit on that, and we need to not have anything to do with things that are impure in God's eyes. Goes on, talks about greed. One thing this morning, Evenor was talking to me about. He just got back from being in Haiti. And he says, over here, we've got so many nice things. And he goes, it's easy for all the nice things to become our focus. And I asked him about where he was staying when he was there. And he goes, well, I was on top of a roof in a tent. And he says, you know, in Haiti, the area where he's at, he goes, they usually only get electricity for maybe 2 hours a day. And he goes, because of that, he goes, I was laying out in the tent. He goes, you look up, and there's no lights because nobody's got any lights. And he goes, you look up, and you see the stars and the sky the way it really is. And it's so beautiful. And I think sometimes just stuff can bog down our lives. Stuff, you know, it looks nice, it's nice to have, but sometimes stuff, what comes along with stuff is responsibility. You got to keep it up. You got to pay taxes on it. You have to maintain it. Sometimes stuff can be like a ball and chain. There's been times in life where I thought, man, I think it would be really nice to give away every single thing I had and go live in a one-room tiny house. But then I thought, how could I get rid of everything? I wouldn't want to get rid of my books. But if I put all my books in the tiny room, there's no room for anything else. Of which Tammy would say, I got the answer for that. Get rid of all the books. Sometimes turning off the stressful stuff and being peaceful helps us to remember that life isn't about just being crazy, being busy, running so fast you can't even have time to think about things, being caught up in the latest argument that's going on in our culture. I mean, sometimes it's nice just to be quiet and enjoy the beautiful things around us and to take time to think and think about our lives and think about where we're heading and think about the things that matter most and to count our blessings and to think about God. And I think that whole process, whether it be music, where it may be poetry, or sometimes it's art. I mean, we're very blessed. We have several artists in our church. And I love looking at their stuff. I happen to have one of my favorite over here on the side. I mean, sometimes Deb posts these things, and I look at them, and I think about them, and I think about them. It's like she has no idea that I think about it as much as I do. But I just kind of enjoy the whole process. Other things that are part of the process of molding and shaping us are movies or novels that inspire us to be better human beings. You know how that is? Sometimes you watch a movie and you just leave it and you say, I want to be a better person. I mean, Mr. Scott was posting, those of you friends with him on social media, he went to see the Mr. Rogers flick, and he talks about crying all the way through the movie and his feelings on the whole thing. I'm like, that's great. That is great. But there are other movies that leave you with very different feelings, you know? It wasn't too long ago where there was lines outside the movie theater for 50 Shades of Grey. Now, I didn't go see it. That's not really my type of thing. But there was a whole line of women waiting to see it. Now, when the movie got done, I'm imagining that the final experience and what they got out of it was very different than what Pastor Scott got out of watching the Mr. Rogers flick. Now, Tammy went to see the new Jurassic Park movie, and I go, how was it? And she goes, well, she goes, dinosaurs coming out of every place and chasing people. That's pretty much it. She goes, if that's what you want, that's what you got. Now, some things you read, some things you expose yourself to, kind of make you want to be a better person. We need to be intentional about that stuff. And then there's other things that after you get done watching it, you feel like, why in the world did I watch that? I don't think that's right. I don't want to be like that. I think we need to minimize that stuff in our lives. And we need to be intentional. There's some stuff that we need to watch and we need to be a part of, not because it's winning an Academy Award, but because we know it's good for us. Other things that are part of that process of sanctification. Personal devotions, Bible reading, fasting, giving to the needy, and prayer. You know, if you want to do the three big ones in 1 week, say, all right, during this upcoming week, one day I will fast, I will find a needy person or a needy cause, and I will give to it. And I will spend special time in prayer. Those are the three ones Jesus talked about. If you do that, if you did those three things this week, I promise you, you're gonna feel closer to the Lord. You're going to feel good about your week. Another one, sacrificial service rendered in love and in honor to God. When we sacrificially serve others for the Jesus' sake, we're blessed because we do it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says, we need to find out what pleases the Lord and do it. Find out what pleases the Lord and do it. We're called on Ephesians chapter 5 to be imitators of God. And at the same time, we're encouraged not to do anything, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. So be intentional about being an imitator of God. Don't let yourself slouch down to being involved with fruitless deeds of darkness. Don't do it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we find a warning too. We find a warning that there is an enemy to our soul that would like nothing more than to sidetrack us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be self-controlled and alert, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. So let's kind of go back to where I started, where I talked about these things that often can counteract sanctification in our lives. Twitter. You go from just catching up on latest news items to now you have just given it an hour of your time, and you find yourself following people that you probably shouldn't be following, reading the things they're saying. I mean, young people, I know that half the church don't know what I'm talking about, but you know what I'm talking about. Snapchat News. If it wasn't for Snapchat News, would you even know who some of these celebrities are? Now, I know you older folks, you're like, what? I don't know what he's talking about. Trust me, the young ones know exactly what I'm talking about. Snapchat News. The latest articles from Cosmopolitan. Whose butt looks best in a bathing suit? There you go. There would be a news article that would be out. And folks, I'll just tell you what. If you walk out on the street, I would be willing to say that in Claremont, at least 90% of the teenagers are on Snapchat. At least 90% of them. And as soon as they go on to check their updates or to see if anybody's messaged them, they get the latest Snapchat news. Snapchat news is often, some of it is like equivalent to what would be, I don't know what to say. Let's just leave it alone. But see, my whole point is that the enemy prowls around like a lion. And sometimes you can take these things that could be innocent and could be good, but these can just be a conduit of garbage into a person's life. And Satan doesn't want you to be happy and at peace and growing in God. And so if he can get you to make little compromises, and often it's these common things that through which people often make little compromises, you can find that rather than feeling like you're growing in your spirit, like you feel so close to the Lord, instead you're someplace else. And that someplace else is not standing where you're supposed to be standing. Second Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 is one that really encourages me, where Paul talks about times when he had to take a stand and he felt like he was standing all alone. And he says, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and the Gentiles might hear it. You know, when you make your mind up that you are going to stand for the Lord and you are not going to let yourself be drawn off course and you are not going to just be let the winds of whatever the current thing is sweep you away. You're going to stand and you're going to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You will find that you are not standing alone. The Lord will stand at your side and He will use your life and He will accomplish things through you. It says, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. He says, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth, and the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom, to His glory forever and ever. Amen. Let me wrap this sermon up with Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. It says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. There's your challenge, folks. I want to tell you that this week, there will be plenty of opportunities to compromise with sin. They are waiting for you. For some of you, they're not even waiting for you right now. For some of you right now, your phone is buzzing because there's an update. Somebody that you know and a follow has just posted a new status or tweeted. Or somebody liked one of your pictures. Or somebody has friend requested you. For some of you, you're going to get a message and you're going to get invited to do something. And you know if you go, I mean, for some things you know you want to go. And then there's other things that maybe in your spirit, I don't know, if I go and I hang out with them, I know where it's heading. And I want to tell you what, this week's going to be full of that stuff. Just understand that the devil's around like a prowling lion. And you're going to need to stand. There was one time when I was in high school. It was in one of my classes, and we were done with our stuff. And I think we were seniors. And someone was teasing one of my friends. And they were teasing him about being dishonest. And they said, ah, Bruce lies all the time, just trying to wind him up. And Bruce listened to it for a little bit more, and he decided that he had had enough. He turned around, and he had a very angry face, and he says, Bruce Coffin doesn't lie. Bruce Coffin's word means something. And I come from a family that doesn't lie. I come from a family whose word means something. And all of us got real quiet real quick. And I'm telling you, for all of us, we need to tell ourselves and we need to tell our world, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stand. You might not stand, but I'm going to stand. I'm going to endeavor to do things God's way. And there's some things I'm not going to do. And it's not because I don't like you, and it's not because I'm judging you. I'm in charge of me. And I'm going to stand. Lord Jesus Christ is going to come first in my life, because that is who I am, and I'm going to stick with it. And as we close this service this morning, I ask you, do you stand? Do you stand? Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, I pray that this would be a week where you would make our spirits very, very sensitive to you. For Father, I know there'll be lots of stuff that comes our way. It'll be easy for us to get all wound up in an argument online. It'll be easy for us to make hours disappear researching stuff that maybe we don't need to be researching. Places to go, all stuff like that. But Father, I also know that there's going to be opportunities where we could rearrange our schedule just to spend time with you. There's going to be things that we can see and things that we can accomplish by quieting down our lives so that we can listen for your voice. And Heavenly Father, we want to be that type of people. So Lord, help us to stand firm this week. And I pray that when the dust settles, there we will be, standing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.